Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. You want to be down with the kids?
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you over the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776.
I got to check on something with you now.
Watching the Cowboys make all kinds of mistakes. Like, if you're really in a good mood right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Just watching the Cowboys make mistakes?
Well, yeah, they had him fumbling, Dak getting sacked, Dak throwing picks. I feel really good.
It was literally 3 weeks ago, the talk was, are the Cowboys the best team in the NFC? And now it's like, stupid Cowboys.
I got Bengals, 49ers.
God, Brock Purdy to a Super Bowl. That'd be wild, but I mean, who do you? Who can you trust in the NFC?
Who was it? Kittle said.
Jalen is hurt still. His coach said, he's like, man, Jalen had to fight through a lot of pain. He didn't look that good the other day, so you got to get Jalen 100% right.
And that defense? And Kittle said, you know what? Purdy needs to be the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year.
It's too late, but he would have been a lock had this happened earlier. And it really gets to a conversation we'll have about Stetson Bennett later, but the Stetson Bennett, just the way he played, opens up a lot of questions. It caused me to ask questions to some NFL people just about the comparison of Bryce Young and Stetson Bennett from a size standpoint. If you don't care about size for one guy, but you do for another, you know, how do you guys in the league feel about this? Coming up in a little bit, I'll wait until the next break. Had a conversation with an NFL team about their thoughts on Bryce Young. It's my very first one saying, okay, tell me about his play, his size, what do you think? I had a really good conversation. I'll share some of that because this guy had a plan for how you draft Bryce Young and how you take care of him, and I'll tell you about it.
Well, the Texans' offensive line's going to do the job.
I'll tell you about that in a little bit. You're going to be very interested in one thing that he had to say. But, the situation, you know, just to get back to the Super Bowl-type stuff, it's going to be really interesting to see if a rookie like Brock Purdy, I mean, it's the ultimate compliment to the offense of Kyle Shanahan, which I just forever have thought so highly of. I just think his ability to fit his offense into whoever his quarterback is, it's the most quarterback-friendly offense. That's why I thought Trey Lance would really excel, because how can you not succeed in that offense? Like, everyone succeeds in that offense, and Trey's never really gotten a shot, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. And once again, I'll just throw his name out there as a potential, you know, I wonder what Kyle Shanahan thinks about, because you don't have to be a specially gifted athlete to run the offense. Well, you saw Matt Schaub run that offense.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Trey Lance and how they operate next year. And I say that as someone who covers the Texans, because you know, he's one of those guys that maybe they would look to try to get one of their draft picks back. I don't know. But Joe Burrow, I mean, I still like the Buffalo Bills, but I wonder if they can. But without Von Miller, it really hurts, because that's one of your advantages against Joe Burrow. Now, they also lost Lyle Collins for the year. So now Burrow and Cincinnati have to deal with another offensive, you know, issue with one of their only, you know, really talented offensive lineman is hurt and out for the year. So they've got Adonijé back in, who was part of the crew that the Super Bowl where he was getting bum rushed by the Rams last year.
Ugly last year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
you're in a good mood. So did you get any sleep? Because I know what you were doing last night.
That's a bad sign. Yeah. I believe we had a poker tournament once a month and to go to the World Series of poker.
You said you were hoping you didn't
and
get much sleep.
I didn't get any sleep, but I got a lot. I got a lot of sleep. So I'm good. I'm really, really good. I watched the game and then left. While we were playing, we were watching the game. And the game was just – now, RJ came in before the show and he said, you know, I've been a big proponent of 12 teams, and he said, did last night have any effect on your 12-team thing? And the answer is no, if it wasn't for, I mean, the more games. Now, I do agree with something that I heard on the show before, was that it was a huge wake-up call. That Ohio State game was a huge wake-up call for Georgia. I mean, they were like, they, you know, Georgia has been, had been, well, actually they struggled with Missouri. They struggled with a few teams this year. And, you know, and but then they came back and they just boat raced the rest of the schedule. I think that Ohio State did wake him up and say, okay, here we go. And then I watched Alabama. We all watched Alabama and Kansas State, and they just beat the snot out of them. And Kansas State was better than TCU was, and Georgia was better than Alabama was. So this was, I thought this was inevitable. And as soon as I saw the 13.5 when it came out the night of the semifinal games, it was like, that's horrible for TCU, and it was horrible for TCU.
You know,
the majority of people in the country were on TCU.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't. That was, to me, Kirby Smart. One thing he'll do is he'll take away your best player. So if you take away Quentin Johnston and then you put situations
really
in place where Max Duggan is. And I saw what they did to Tennessee, where they were mad that Tennessee was, you know, they didn't roll Tennessee like they rolled, and they were at home. Like, you know, what it proved to me is I've never been a proponent of expanding playoffs, because I don't think that many teams deserve to be there. I don't think that many teams can even compete for the spot in it, but I'm fine from an entertainment standpoint.
No.
You know, it'll be fun to watch additional games and things like that. But it's just when you look at who's won it, the three Alabama teams, just from the SEC, the three Alabama teams, the LSU team, the Georgia teams, there's nobody who is going to beat them. Like, you have to be in a certain class, just like when Clemson had Deshaun Watson and a lot of pro prospects. When they won theirs too, you have to, with Trevor Lawrence, you have to be in a certain class to play in a national championship. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, to an extent, Oklahoma over the years. We have such a have and have not now between, I mean, Georgia's the new Alabama. It's just, you can't play with them. TCU, just looking out on the field at the players in the uniforms, it just wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't close.
Like, it wasn't even close, and you could see it early on that this wasn't even, and you know, and it's ironic that they're getting beat by a 5'10.5", 186-pound quarterback. They're getting the brakes beaten off of them by a small, tiny little quarterback. But the reality is, you know, he knows how to play, and everybody across the board, Bear Alexander, oh my God, the freshman from Denton, Texas, 99, he's going to be the next guy in, like Jalen Carter. It's the same thing we saw with Nick Saban, only these guys, I think, are even more talented.
No, 33-5, 99-88, and it was just,
it's an onslaught.
Oh my gosh, are they? And that's what's got to change. And here's the deal: is NIL may change it too. I mean, you know what? All the best players were going to Georgia or Alabama.
Still are.
They still are, but maybe it changes. We can buy some players over here. And let's face it, it's happening. It's always happened. You buy players out of high school. It's been happening forever. It's not what. Okay. Well, here's the deal. Maybe the talent will be spread out throughout the country.
Yeah, but can you do with it? I'm a firm believer, after watching tape so much. One of the greatest tapes I've ever seen was last year when Georgia beat Alabama in the national championship game. I didn't see one mistake by Georgia's defensive front seven. Like, their technique, they're, okay, this is my fit, and you're going to slide. You know, we're gonna slant, and we're going to slide our linebackers. They're so well coached, John. I think, I don't want this to get lost. Georgia and Alabama specifically are so well coached on the offensive and defensive lines, but especially the defensive lines and linebackers, that they don't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They're more talented than you. They're bigger than you. They're faster, and then they're technically sound, and they play hard. Like, it's a nightmare. You're playing against guys who not only are better than you, they're not undisciplined. Like, Ohio State's kind of undisciplined when you watch them on tape. Georgia's extremely disciplined, so they're not going to screw up. So now you just got to beat them hat on hat.
Well,
you're not going to.
No, you're not.
So that's why, what happens when bigger, more talented guys are also disciplined and technically sound? Well, now it's like you're playing against guys. That's why you can't beat Georgia, is they're bigger, better, but they're technically sound. It's unbelievable watching their tape. I'm sure if Summy or Dana watched tape, they would say, dude, They don't, like, you can't, they do everything right.
Yeah. I was with Dana for a while last night, and, you know, he was rooting for Sonny Dykes because he's good friends with Sonny, and he wanted him, you know, he wanted him to win.
America was rooting for TCU.
Yeah,
I know Mattress Mac was.
I know Matt. Yeah, he was very disappointed. It was, the whole night was disappointing for everybody who knew them. But you just shake your head at George. Georgia's just, now, this is a pretty good point. Maybe college football would be better if Kirby Smart was the Texans' next head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Would college football be better? Would the Houston Texans be better if Kirby Smart was their next head coach?
Yes, they would.
You think so?
Yes,
I don't know if he's a pro coach.
I think he can get, you know what? He's coaching pro prospects left and right.
He is.
And so I don't think there's a problem with it. And he gets those guys to play. And he's in a generation now where it's harder to get guys to play. They can transfer whenever they want, and they're not. And they're playing for him. And I think there's something about Kirby that feels genuine. The players like him because he loves them. I don't know. Nick was too heavy for the NFL. I think Kirby might be the right balance of, because we see it with Mike Vrabel has some of that. I mean, granted, I'm giving you a team that lost 7 in a row.
Right.
But so does Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell's got some of that, and they don't seem to have a problem with it.
Yeah. Well, and Kirby's a defensive genius.
I would take Kirby Smart with the Texans in a heartbeat.
Yeah, like, really?
I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, I really like the list with Ben Johnson and Shane Steichen on it. I really do.
Yeah.
Opposed to a defensive coach. Well, let's get some offense. Let's get some fun. Let's get something that people are going to be excited about.
If you
about
plan here. On drafting a quarterback within the next couple of years, now, granted, you just want to have the right offensive coordinator, but yeah, maybe it's after Lovey. Cully, I don't really count. He's not really one side of the ball or the other necessarily. I mean, he's running back, a wide receiver coach, but after Lovey, it is. I think you want to have a mindset that's more aggressive. And Lovey had a naturally conservative mindset, although there's plenty of defensive coaches who are not conservative, but. I think an offensive coach is. I agree with you. I'd kind of like to see an offensive mind. I'd like to see an offense that is fun and that keeps people off balance. And you can get that from just having an offensive coordinator.
What about the report by Aaron Wilson? We'll talk about it on the other side. About Lovey and his relationship to his players.
Yeah, we got to hear about that. That was maybe a big reason why Lovey is gone after 1 year. Sure. He was just very belligerent. Apparently. And then we'll also hear from Cal McNair, the owner, and your guy, Nick Caserio.
Nick Caserio. They had a big press conference yesterday. There's a lot of fair questions out there.
That's fair.
And it
That's
seems a fair like, question. Well, we'll see, but it just seems like Nick is ready to leave at any point.
By the way, good questions, too. People challenged him a little bit.
Yep, pretty good. Time to talk about HRP right now. If you're challenged with your payroll, if you're challenged with your HR, if you are challenged with your taxes, and that's a big deal too, by the way, is making sure that your taxes are. The Affordable Care Act ain't going anywhere. Affordable Care Act is here, and the Affordable Care Act is difficult to understand. You're not an expert in taxes. You know who is? HRP. The technology that they have, well, just the expertise on the Affordable Care Act, first of all. Secondly, the technology that they have for the payroll, it makes it just so much easier. It makes it just so much more affordable, and they pass those savings on to you as well. Their payroll is going to make it's so much easier, so much more professional, so much better, so perfect every single time, and yet, it's going to be less expensive than you doing it yourself. Much less expensive. And why don't you find out for yourself? And if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company right now, well, then try ours. At least get a customized evaluation of your business, and they will tell you how much and what they can do for you. If you're not 100% satisfied with your payroll company, go with ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Per Aaron Wilson of Channel 2, Lovie was kind of difficult. And actually, I could certainly see this. I could certainly see where Lovie was like, you know, I've been here. I've done this. Caserio, you're 2 years on the job. Cal, you don't know anything about football. Players, I'm the boss around here.
I came in here to save you guys.
Yeah.
when you got nervous about that lawsuit from Flores.
Lovie, says Aaron Wilson, Lovie would meet with players, but he would never use any of our suggestions and ideas. We wanted to be heard, and he ignored what we had to say. It was very frustrating. Talking with him became a waste of our time. That's a pretty heavy indictment on a head. But you know, I could certainly see Lovie being set in his ways. Mm-hmm. You know,
my friend Tyler worked for him with the Bucks, the analytics director, and you know Tyler's Elitics model had Aaron Donald as the top player in the draft in 14, which is like his, just phenomenal. But he was his first year in the building and with Lovie, and he went into the building like, numbers guy, what do you have? I've got the 280-pound defensive tackle as the best player in the draft. That didn't go well.
No.
It didn't go well. Now, it's gone well since.
Yeah.
He had Khalil Mack, too, so it's gone well since. But Lovie was not, it was kind of a waste of Tyler's time, the analytics stuff. While when Dirk Koetter was there, he was fine. But Lovie had no interest in analytics.
I can see he's old school and whatnot. Now, this is not going to, we don't bash Lovie. Lovie was here. And you know what? An interesting and a legitimate question. A legitimate question yesterday. And it was, I'm going to tell you this. Nick Caserio said it was a fair question. A fair question was...
To be fair, he said that about several questions.
Yes, he did. That is fair. That is true. How can the new head coach... literally, you had 3-win coach fired, 4-win coach fired.
1 year both.
1 year both. How can this next head coach, if they only win three, four, five games, how can they trust you that you're going to not just get out of them from after just 1 year? Here's Nick Caserio.
We've already talked about implementing some different, I would say, techniques and tactics that we feel can help us, and relying on, I would say, more members and people in the organization, making a more inclusive process and not just make it about one individual or one person. So,
all right, that's about the hiring practice. Hold on, your mic.
That's about the hiring process.
However, I would say this. I thought what that meant is here's what I think has happened, John. I think Cal has gotten tired of paying for coaches that aren't the right coaches. I don't think Cal's telling you to hire anybody. Cal's not telling you to hire anybody. He's letting you do what you do. I think what has happened is Cal McNair, you know, when you listen to that, he goes, we're going to be more inclusive. I think it's basically Cal McNair, and maybe through Hannah, said, hey, I'm sitting here paying for multiple coaches after 1 year, and I'm finding out we got to go with somebody else. Then it's not just going to be a Nick Caserio thing. We're going to expand this, let more people in on the decision-making. That's what Nick said, which I found interesting.
There's a lot to that to unfold. Okay. There's a lot to that. But let's get this point in here first. Why should any head coach – and by the way, the Texans are getting ripped all over the place. But why should any head coach, and specifically a black head coach, why should he trust them to actually stick with them and let them play out the process?
I think each individual is going to have to make that choice. I think this is, in the end, it's not about race. I mean, it's about finding quality coaches. There's a lot of quality coaches. David's a quality coach. Lovie's a quality coach. In the end, like, each coach has their own beliefs. Each coach has their own philosophy. Each coach has their comfort level about what we're doing. That's all I can do is just be honest and forthright, which I've done from the day that I took this job, and I'm going to continue to do that and try to find the coach that we feel makes the most sense for this organization.
Well, I don't know if anybody can believe him. Tony Dungy, did you see his tweet? What are the Texans doing? What kind of operation is this where you don't have any convictions about supporting the coaches you hire?
Yeah.
Who is going to want to coach there if you might get only 1 year to implement your plans? 2 years in a row is ridiculous.
It's horrible. And you know, my dad called me just horrified yesterday. He's like, what in the world? Well, Lovie got 1 year. He goes, looked like the players played hard for him. Looks like, he goes, you got to give a guy more time than that. He said, that's not a talented team. I said, yeah, we all know, Dad. Mm. I said, he was not their choice. They hired him. I think there may have been an understanding that it could be one and done. Lovie got a paycheck. That's fine. It's I understand that all in a vacuum. But what you've now done for 2 years in a row is gone with a one and done coach, regardless of race.
No, that's why I didn't think that Lovie was going to get fired. Just couldn't have this look.
Coaches around the country,
yeah.
I don't care, high school up to pro, are like, this is, how can any of us do anything in a year? Yeah. This isn't fair.
No. Mike Triplett, I know I'm not privy to everything that went into the Texans' decisions the last 2 years, but it really feels like they have been terribly unfair to two straight coaches, giving them so little talent to work with, then firing both after just 1 year. That's dead on. It is just dead on. Robert Griffin III, the Houston Texans have fired Lovie Smith after 1 year. Using two black head coaches to tank and then firing them after 1 year shouldn't sit right with anyone.
That's too simple. They're not using them to tank.
No.
I really don't think they're using them to tank. I can't explain.
They don't have talent.
I can't explain
Cully.
Yeah, I can't explain Cully. Lovie Smith was not their choice, and that's a separate problem. If Lovie's not your choice, go get somebody else who you're okay with. What is this patchwork? I didn't know we had bridge coaches. I know there's bridge quarterbacks.
Right.
This is the first time I've seen bridge coaches.
Yeah.
For who? Who are you bridging to? I know you were going to bridge to McCown, but that's got to be dead, right?
No, the McCown idea's got to be dead. Look, they put out five names. There are five names out there, okay? The two Philadelphia coordinators, D'Amico, Ben Johnson, and Ejiro Evero from the Broncos. And Steichen and Gannon would be, I think Steichen and Johnson should be your first choices. You're going to get a new young quarterback in here because, listen, if you get Gannon and they loved Gannon headed into, you know, he was one of the finalists last year. But the most important question is, who are you going to get to raise this quarterback, raise this baby that you just got in the draft? Who is going to oversee that and take care of that?
I mean, legitimately, if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I don't even consider the Texans. You got to wait for it. There's going to be better jobs.
Yeah.
There's no reason for you to even think about the Texans. You know that things are kind of a mess still in the front office. They're not talented enough. You can get a better job than this. If I'm D'Amico, I would interview, but I would not want this job.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have an interest in this job if I'm D'Amico Ryans. Yeah, we'll see. I like the idea of Ben Johnson, but once again, it's one thing to like an offense coordinator. It's not until they get back there in the interviewing process and find out what is your plan. Like one of the issues, I talked to somebody who interviewed Eric Bieniemy, and and Eric has some stuff in his background. Like Greg Berhalter got sacked because of something that happened, in part because of something that happened 30 years ago. Well, if that's a new standard.
I don't know that they were thrilled with Greg Berhalter anyway, though.
May not have been, but if that's the standard, then Bieniemy's never going to get a head coach.
No, right?
Because he's got stuff in his background.
Right.
But from years ago, like I think I'm not sure that should be playing into this. But the issue that speaking to somebody who's been in a building as part of the interview process, they said he didn't come in with a good plan at all. Like you have to have a plan for the team president and the owner. All right, this is what we're going to do. Here's who I'm going to hire. This is my coordinator. And you need to reach out to guys in advance to find out. But this is going to be my director of scouting. This is my offense coordinator. This is my defense coordinator. This is what our plan is. You have to come in with that stuff. And so I don't know what Shane Steichen's going to say, D'Amico, Ben Johnson. You have to be very organized. You have to tell them what your plan is. Who are the guys you're going to hire? They ask you that. And so you have to have already had those conversations. And so you can be great at calling plays. It doesn't mean that you are going to come in with the best, with the best game plan, so to speak. And they do, and those game plans really matter because you're an organizer now. You're not calling plays. Like You got to be in charge of 50, not only just 53 players, but a lot of people in the building. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in the building.
Yep. 725 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We're just starting to delve into this thing here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, more. There's a lot more to deep dive. Speaking of deep dive, Cal actually talked, and that was, I think, it was just awful. And then he sat in the second row instead of answering any questions, which was, you know what? I'm thinking that Cal might have a little self-awareness. You know, he said he would answer some questions, and he got up and he sat in the second row and listened to Caserio. And I think that was probably the best thing that could have happened for him and the organization, that he wouldn't try to ad-lib anything or answer a, you know, a simple, straight question, because that's probably the best way to go about that. Time to talk for you, though. The best way to go about it is out on your patio.
Yeah, and Texas Custom Patios is a company who, they've been so good at so many things for a while now. I went and found them in 2016, and since then, I mean, you can just imagine they've got even more suppliers, even more crews that work with them. They have expanded their companies. They are not just in Houston. They're huge in Dallas. They're going to be opening in Austin. They may be opening outside the state. What they've done is they've created outdoor living spaces, outdoor kitchens, now swimming pools that are so good. They're built with such a high standard of quality and workmanship and materials that you know, it adds not just value to your home, but really value to your life. And I got to say this, it really makes a huge difference. When you are paying for Texas Custom Patios, you're going to get a product that is so well-developed, well-designed, and really created to give you enjoyment. And I think it's worth every penny that you pay on there. And it does help that you get your money back, you know, obviously, whenever you're going to sell your home. But just the ability to live in a home that you truly love. It's not just a house. This is a home, and this is someplace you love to be. It's why a lot of people have gone to Texas Custom Patios rather than buying new homes. They're building the home of their dreams just through their backyard. And so that's what Texas Custom Patios can do for you. TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, we got a new number one in the country in college basketball. How about them Cougs? You watch any of the Cougs games, RJ?
I've actually, like here and there, been watching, but listening to our guy Jeremy Branham on the computer that the Cougars have the computer broadcast.
That it really, really is. It really is good basketball. Jarris is just such a beast. He had 25 the other day, a couple games ago. They're just running through everybody. Cincinnati used to be a hard game. They just beat the snot out of them. SMU beat it. All of them just beat it. And they're number one once again. Kansas is number two. You see, Texas is going after Calipari. Texas is made a little call to Cal, see if he wants to come down.
I don't know if he wants to go to Texas.
It's a tough job because it's a football school, but a Calipari could make that a winner, a big winner. Really could. It's not a basketball school, though. I mean, he loves being where nobody cares about anything other than his basketball team, I would imagine. But you know what? Texas always shoots for the moon. Good for them. I don't think Cal takes it. But at least they're talking to him. That's what Texas does. They go for the best, like Sark.
What was that delay?
Well, it was nothing. There was no delay. Mm-hmm. I just made a comment.
I just saw a look.
So let's talk a little bit more about, okay, Caserio. One of the things that was said here by Nick Caserio is that he is going to, you know, he came over, and the rap against him and everybody in the Patriots organization is that it's a dictatorship. over it's Belichick, and that's why one I think feel like that's one of the reasons why none of his coaching tree, nobody around him, ever succeeds.
I agree with you
because it's a dictatorship. He doesn't take any input from anybody else, and everybody goes on and they try to act like that same way that's how an organization is run, as opposed to taking input. I was told their scouting department, they come in here with all of this stuff. They never sit down and talk about it. They just hand their stuff in, and then they put and then Caserio or Belichick put that tree together,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to getting input from everybody. Stomping their feet, standing on the table for somebody. No, there's none of that. And as opposed to organizations that have a lot of communication and they hash things out and probably get a lot do a lot better job in that respect, especially when you're really not good at it. And so far, they really haven't been. The Texans haven't, but nobody out of the Belichick organization has been good at it. One thing that Caserio said was that he is actually going to start to take a lot more input from other people.
How much of that do you think is Nick versus Cal McNair saying that?
Yeah.
Because I, so Bill O'Brien had a chance to make a run at Power, and he did. And he told one of his coaches, I had this conversation. My dad had the conversation with a coach. He told me this, that he believed that this was like a game changer for a coach to have all the power like that for an organization, because you know what you want and you know this and you know that. What happens is now there's no checks and balances. That's the biggest problem with this whole Belichick model that mm-hmm. you're talking about. There's no checks and balances. So unless you're really great at it, you are bound to fail because there's no, you've got all your eggs in one basket. And I just wonder if Nick Caserio, I feel like this is a humbling thing for Nick Caserio where they are right now.
Oh, he's been humbled.
Yeah, he's been humbled. And I wonder if Cal, and I always think, I mean, I just tell you, I just think that Hannah McNair has some, it might just be Cal. Maybe it's his brother. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's, who's team president now? Maybe it's Greg Grissom. I don't know, but because this doesn't feel like something Cal would do, but maybe Cal finally, grew a pair.
I think if you're in the meeting with Cal, you're in the meeting with Hannah as well.
Yeah, and that's fine. And maybe Hannah's the one who's pushing some of this, but whoever's doing it, it's the right thing.
Here is Caserio on how this process is going to be different.
Including maybe more voices, more people, utilizing the resources that we have in the building, utilizing our resources throughout the league, using some of the data and information that, might be more available. And I would just say, candidly, me allowing other people to be a part of that process because we trust the people that are in the building.
But he hasn't.
It could be James Lipford. It could be any number of people, I guess, in the building. But that was an interesting comment.
Very
yesterday.
Interesting that there's that Nick Caserio maybe is starting to.
Is he neutered or is he self-aware? Which one?
He is. I think he's self-aware. When he's 7-26-1, I think there's been a big awakening for him. Like he said, I am more disappointed in myself than anybody. I am disappointed in how this went. I have to change. And you know what? He does have to change.
I don't get the... Honestly, yesterday he answered more questions than he usually does.
Yes, he did. What is this word salad thing that's going on here? Have you seen this? Everybody is saying that he's a word salad guy.
Well, I've said that in the past, too. He just says words. And he doesn't answer questions.
It's just all thrown in there.
But that's not what I would say about yesterday.
No.
I think he actually answered questions.
He actually was, and he was humbled. And, oh, by the way, he also is willing. I don't know. It's kind of four times he said that he would step down. Here is Caserio. Here's the deal. As apparently, if it's going to be Sean Payton or Jim Harbaugh, they might not want Nick Caserio as the general manager. So here is, and that's conjecture, but here is Nick Caserio he's already saying, hey, if I got to step aside, I will.
As we work through this process, and if there's candidates, they feel that, whether or not my position, that, I'm worthwhile to be in my position. If ultimately the best thing for the organization is for me not to be in that position, then, I have to respect that and acknowledge that. And, I'm certainly not above and beyond anything else. So,
mm-hmm. that was, you know, that's an acknowledgement. So Harbaugh, one of the concerns with Harbaugh is that he's going to want power. Sean yeah. Payton had Mickey Loomis, but Payton was in control. It's dangerous because that's a model. I know that we like, you know, the idea of Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton. Well, I'm just saying that generally. Maybe
do you?
Maybe people don't.
I want to know. Do you? Do you like the idea of it?
Here's what I don't love. I just got done seeing a head coach who had all the power and was a GM and stuff like that. I don't love it. I don't like that model.
I don't love it anyway. I want. You know what I want? I want the McVays, the Staleys, the LaFleurs.
You're just going off age, though.
I want a young infusion here.
Yeah, but you said young. Yes. But Sean Payton is potentially a winning infusion. I don't know about Harbaugh.
Is
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he sustained the Saints for years.
But he also had Drew Brees.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you also have a quarterback,
with, and that's the same with Belichick. He sustained it for years. You know who he had? Tom Brady.
So now it's time for me to bring this in. You just mentioned Drew Brees, right? So I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I said, okay, tell me, and this team is not going to look at quarterback. I said, what do you think of Bryce Young? Tell me your thoughts on Bryce Young relative to his size, his play, everything. He said, really small. Said, we've heard that he plays in the 180s. So he's actually, so he goes, I did not think he's 195. I know he's listed that. He said, we've heard during the season he's closer to about 188. He said, so really, really small. He said, talented, easily, you know, the most talented quarterback in this draft, has a good arm, throws it well. He said, you have to have a great plan to protect him. He said, I would do what the Saints did with Drew Brees. Now, he said, now Drew Brees came in the league at 220. I said, he did? He goes, yeah, he's 220, but he ended up at 210. He leaned down. He said, so he's a lot bigger than this kid, a lot bigger anyway, even though he was small. He said, but what you'd have to do is get two big guards, really big guards inside who can protect a little bit. You need to have two big tackles. You need to have a big offensive line or a really talented tackles. With
guys he can't see over?
Yeah, basically. Wow. He's like, you got to have, and you'd have to basically play ball control, passing, like Drew Brees did, where you want the ball out quickly, you want the ball out on time. You don't want him extending. Here's what else he said about Bryce Young. He said, Bryce Young is not as good an athlete as Stetson Bennett. He said, Stetson's going to run in a 4-5 range. Bryce is probably going to be a high 4-6. He doesn't love to run. The problem with him is he's not a dynamic runner, but he's good in the pocket, moving around. He's great in the pocket. But he said, why I like it in Houston is because he's in a bad division and he's indoors. He said, small guys in cold weather is a really bad combination. He said, they just tend to get hurt more in the cold weather stuff. You don't get warmed up. He said, I like him in Houston better than some other spots because you got a bad division, you're indoors. He said, I do like that for him. He said, but you have to have a plan to protect him. I said, would it prevent? I said, if you were the Texans, what would you? I said, how would you feel about it? He goes, I'd be really scared. He said, I'm putting everything for the next, 5 years on a guy who's really small. And he said,
and you don't have that infrastructure with the offensive line.
When he said,
have any talented wide receivers.
He said injuries. He said a standard injury is going to take him out potentially 2 to 3 weeks. He goes, that's 2 to 3 losses. And he said, we had a situation where we lost our quarterback and he said, then that affects the backup. You got to have a really talented backup, which actually Davis Mills would be a really good backup, I think.
Yeah.
With his experience and everything, I think Davis would be a good backup. But
and you got him on the cheap.
He felt like the Drew Brees New Orleans Saints model was the way to go. You play power, your power running
team.
How
long is that going to take to put together?
I don't know.
Because Kenyon Green ain't that guard.
Kenyon Green actually is that guard, but he's got to get better in pass protection.
A lot better.
He is a big guy.
No, he's a big guy, but he's terrible at pass protection.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's got to get better.
Not only do you have to be a big guy, but you have to be good at pass protection.
I think you got to be good at center, too, because that helps in pass protection. If you slide protection to Kenyon, it helps. But his whole idea was you have to follow the Brees model, which is get rid of the ball. And so that's why the Sean Payton thing is interesting because – he has had Drew Brees, who was at that time considered a much smaller quarterback. I mean, now the average size, the average size of quarterbacks was 223 or 30 pounds. just in 2017, the average size of the quarterback has come way down.
Yeah.
It's actually come way down because of Kyler and
relatively
Baker
speaking, Bryce Young would be about the same as Drew Brees, relatively speaking.
Yeah, at the time in 2001. Right.
Because he'd be one of the smaller quarterbacks, although even taller than Kyler would be. That's interesting. I don't know. Is it me or you guys? Do you want a Sean Payton? Do you want a Jim Harbaugh, or do you want a young Ben Johnson?
Everyone wants
so innovative. That offense was so innovative. The Shane Steichen, what he's done with Hurts, I mean,
it's hard not to be excited about that.
It's really hard
not to be excited about that. I just, once again, I would love those dudes as play callers. You know,
but they're
not
coming here as play callers.
I know, and that's the problem. Is I know that Harbaugh's personality, I'm just not sure that's going to work anymore in the pros. But Sean Payton, I know that. I know he knows how to do it. I know he knows how to be a GM. But I don't want, well, when I say a GM, I'm sorry, a CEO of a team. I don't know that I want head coach with all this power again.
Yeah.
I just seen that. It doesn't, and you're, once again, you're putting all your eggs in a basket. And well, that guy's not good at that part of it, it's a concern.
Well, then, okay, so you would rather have Caserio and a young guy than a Payton with his coaching experience and his...
I'd rather have Payton and Caserio working in conjunction.
You do think they would?
Well, why not? Because Belichick was the boss, and he worked, and Caserio was able to work like that.
Yeah, but that
Caserio
was a different dynamic.
He wasn't
a GM then. He's a GM now, okay? He's the boss. Casario's the boss now.
Well, he wouldn't be.
Yeah, well, Rick Smith, that worked here for him. I mean, it worked with... Although Rick flexed his muscle on number one picks.
Yeah, he did some. So, I mean, it can work. It can work, but you got to have a lot of respect between the two, and you have to be working in conjunction. And that's the concern, is if Sean Payton came in and he's not... First of all, I mean, once again, if D'Amico Ryans wouldn't want to come to the Texans, why would Sean Payton? When you hear some of the jobs that could... The Rams could open up Sean Payton. I think the McVay thing, this is getting... I'm hearing this too much.
Listen, if McCarthy doesn't win this week in Tampa, Payton's going to be the Cowboys head coach.
Oh, they're waiting to... I think Jerry secretly like, man, this is starting... It looked like I was going to be stuck with McCarthy again. This is secretly working out.
This is coming together
nicely. Yeah, if you lose to Tampa, McCarthy will be fired.
Oh, maybe even if he beats Tampa but doesn't make it to the championship.
Then you have Denver. To me, that's like a man. Who wants that one? No draft picks, and you're on a Russell contract.
Yep,
that doesn't look good. But this McVay trying to get out of the Rams thing—he just must be burned out.
It must be. Maybe he wants to go on a little vacation with his Russian girlfriend. I don't know. That sounds like a plan.
He's going on a bedroom vacation.
Whoa, it's 7:44. The kids are on their way to school.
Speaking code.
Time to talk right now. Okay, kids, don't dip. Okay. But here's a safe way to do it. This is the safest way to dip, okay? Hemp in a pouch made of hemp with CBD oil. So this is the perfect way to go about it. If you're somebody that is dipping right now, you use tobacco. Well, this is tobacco-free, nicotine-free. Yet you still get that sensation. You still get that taste. You still get, I mean, I'm telling you, the flavor that you're looking for. But that sensation is what you're looking for most, is in between your cheek and gum. And that's what you get with these pouches. You can use one or two pouches, whatever the case may be, and you're going to get that citrus taste. You're going to get that wintergreen taste, straight mint, ice mint, dark mint, berry, or tobacco flavor. You get tobacco flavor, but you don't get the harmfulness of tobacco, all in one pouch. Go to 975dip.com and find out for yourself. You're looking for a great way to get out of dip? 975dip.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Someone 3780-3776. Let's get our our daily 49ers update in here. It's Julian. Okay? You're so happy, Julian. I wish
We trust.
You are so.
How you doing, gentlemen?
What is your deal with the 49ers?
Look, man, when I was my late father, his birthday was actually just this past 8th was what? Yes, the Sunday? So anyways, my late father, he's a Cowboys fan, huge Cowboys fan, like the biggest. And one day we're watching a game. I believe it was like a conference championship mid-90s, you know, right before. It was the last Super Bowl we went to against the Chargers. We beat them or something like that. I forget what it was. It was an important game. So I cheer, right? I cheer. And my dad says, from now on, that's your effing team. We ain't no bandwagon fan around here. And, dude, ever since then, I've been a 49er fan.
I respect it.
That's it.
Stay with them.
No,
I respect
don't get it.
It.
I love their unis. I've always loved. I was back in the day, John Brody day, and that was so cool. 49ers were so cool with those unis. And then Joe Montana, obviously, those teams were just so good. I hated them then, though, because they were just so good. This team's fun, Julian. This one is I got them playing the Bengals in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I could see at least the NFC Championship. I just think Brock Purdy needs to do what he's doing. Protect the ball, get the ball to Kittle. See, that's the thing we went away from. We went away from Kittle
for a long time
to bring in Debo and integrate the running game the way we did. We went away from Kittle. I think Brock is doing exactly what he should do. Get Kittle involved, and then we throw in those sprinkle plays with Debo like they should be, as opposed to the usage that we had him on. You know what
I, it depends on, like, some games you might want to go heavy on Debo, but I'm kind of with you, though. The strange thing was when it was Trey Lance.
I go heavy McCaffrey right now.
It was unbelievable wealth of riches offensively.
Look, Mitchell, hey, look, don't forget Mitchell. My boy runs tough.
I know. You got Elijah Mitchell, McCaffrey, Debo. All three of them can carry the ball at any point. Brandon Ayuk, who's a catch and run specialist. Now Kittle is involved in the offense again, which under Trey Lance, and even for a while under Jimmy Garoppolo, is like, and I know he was injured. He wasn't the same, but it was they really having a tight end who can push routes vertical is so big in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And that's what was strange to me, was like watching Kittle disappear from the offense. And as soon as you get him back, it was no question. As soon as you get Kittle back involved in the offense, that offense takes a big step forward. But can you win with a rookie quarterback? It's hard enough. And then can you win with a rookie quarterback who has some physical limitations? Right now, the signs are pointing to potentially yes. He hasn't shown any crack in the armor at all. The defense is outstanding. You can win with running game defense and not turn the ball over. We've seen that with the Baltimore Ravens back in the day. You can win with good defense and winning takeover battles 100%. So you got a shot there. You absolutely have a shot, and it will be interesting to see what your 49ers do. If you get to a Super Bowl or God forbid, win a Super Bowl, it will be really interesting to see how the 49ers handle the offseason with Trey Lance. That's going to really be interesting.
Yeah, we'll pluck that chicken when we get there. I think the two players on defense that are going to be the keys, and it's not anybody thinks, it's Armstead, and it's also Greenlaw. If those two guys are hurt or not in for whatever reason, we're in trouble. Those two guys make our defense hum.
Man, I was so – thanks for calling, Julian. I was way too long.
Is that appropriate?
Trey Greenlaw.
Zero Fox given.
I thought about that, too.
Dominic Foxworthy.
I thought that, too. You're on a show where a bunch of kids are watching, but – I saw the.
Is that appropriate?
I saw the WAP video, WAP, and I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's everything. This is ESPN.
Everything's appropriate now. You can see it on. It's not like you. I feel like you should have an age restriction on that one. I mean, I'm old enough.
Yeah, obviously. I don't know.
I can watch it, but
every time I think of that, I think of Ken Giles. Do you remember?
WAP for...
No. Zero Fox given.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, you think of Ken Giles on...
No.
why are you thinking of Ken Giles on that?
Ken, no.
Oh, yeah. Zero Fox given. Yeah.
Hey, we haven't even talked about Brandon Cooks. What did you think of his comments yesterday? Well, for those of you that haven't heard, if Brandon Cooks met with the media yesterday and had this to say about we don't have it about being part of a Brandon Cooks does not want to be part
too
of
late
a,
you're already
a rebuild
part of it.
Here.
I mean, you said get my mind right. Yep. I mean, for me, my mind's not there. You know, rebuild, like I said, that window of where your gifts are at its peak is only lasts for so long. So for me, I'm not looking at it as far as, you know, being a part of a rebuild. However that looks, that's where I trust my camp and my representation to be able to get a map from here and, you know, to there to see what that looks like, to be a part of something that's a trusted plan. But I'm not going into this offseason thinking like I want to be a part of another rebuild like that.
Hey, I gotta give him credit for honesty. You don't often hear that. And then he goes to his agent and says, you know, I want out. I got to get out of there. I can't be part of this. The thing that got – that's why I trust my camp and my representation to be able to get a map from here to there and see what it looks like to be part of something that has a trusted plan. If I'm a player this is one of the reasons that Deshaun is gone, I think. If it wasn't orchestrated before all of this. But there's no, I don't know how you could trust this organization. And I can't blame a player for saying, I don't want to be part of this anymore. I just don't want to. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially a guy who's got 1,000-yard receiving seasons. He's.
Of course, he's been a vagabond through no choice of his own, but people just haven't wanted to. New Orleans to
and
New
yet he's
England.
He's a really good player.
Right. New Orleans to New England to the Rams to Houston. Like, everyone keeps dealing him, which is
weird.
Strange. Might have something to do with maybe he's can be a little challenging to deal with. I don't know. I know he was a Jack Easterby guy is one of the reasons he's in here. He'll be on his fifth team. I'd look at moving him. That's fine if you're the Texans. You could use him, but at the same time, if you can get – I don't know what you get for him at this stage. You might get a fourth. I don't think you'll get more than that. It's hard to get something
for a player his
age. How many times
was he traded for a one?
Three times. Well, he was
drafted two,
but he was drafted as a one.
Okay.
He was drafted as a one, traded to New England for a one, traded to the Rams for a one.
And then the two
and
here.
And then the Texans, was it a two? Yeah, I think a two.
I'm pretty sure it was a two here.
So I would, you know, that's fine. I would move him, but he's getting older, so I think you might be able to get a fourth for him. In all likelihood, something in that neighborhood, I'd take it and just start moving forward. You have Amari Rodgers, you have John Metchie. You're fine. Amari Rodgers has some ability. John Metchie is going to be healthy and ready to go next year, from what I understand, talking to his agent. So, you can let him go. You have Nico, I would say, wide receiver, obviously needs to be a target in this draft, or free agency.
A number one would be awfully, awfully nice for whatever quarterback is coming in here. You've already got a running game in Damian Pierce. You've got to solidify that offense. What about moving Titus down?
I don't think he's a guard, but you said you
want some size inside.
Yeah, and he can protect.
He's better than Cannon.
He's not a good run blocker, but he is a better pass protector. Yeah, it might be a consideration. I mean, I don't think he's a... I think anytime you have a pass protector, you need to play him at tackle because there's more value at tackle than guard and pass protection. But
even with a smaller guy,
we'll see. Yeah, well, I mean, smaller guys are going to get hit from the edge too. If you got Charlie Heck in there,
yeah. But I don't know. All I need is a better line. That's what I need. Aaron wants to get in here and talk about Brandon Cooks. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, morning, guys. I wanted to ask a couple quick questions about Brandon Cooks because it has been a mystery to me throughout his career why he's been dealt so much. And I was reminded of something yesterday. They won the game. He had like 50 receiving yards. Michael Thomas had huge game. After the game, Cooks said something like, open mouth, get fed, quiet mouth, or shut mouth, don't get fed. Implying, you know, Thomas got the ball because he's talking, yapping, whatever. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard anything throughout Brandon Cook's career? Is he on the precipice of becoming a cancer in the locker room, and then he gets dealt, so it doesn't blow up, it doesn't get news,
and they
just move on?
Yeah, that's a fair question, Aaron, because last year he made a comment. You know, he was one of the ones who made a comment last year. He's made comments like he's a guy who will go to Twitter every once in a while and make his little ominous comments. Yes, cancer in the locker room. I don't know if I'll go that far with it, But he's going to let you know when he's displeased for sure, and he's going to put it out there in public too. So I do think that whoever the next coach is may not want to deal with that. They may just say, I don't want to deal with a veteran who doesn't want to be here. I mean, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him for not wanting to be here. It certainly is not what he was probably expecting when he came here. And I understand that he wants to go. I do think a lot of that can be taken care of, you know, behind the scenes. But regardless, I grant him his wish.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's fine. I mean, like I said, Mechie, you drafted Mechie for a reason.
You didn't need that garbage at trade deadline time.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need it.
He's done some of that. Yes, Aaron. He's already been a little bit
of a disturbance. Listen, he was a Jack Easterby guy. He was here. He was I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with that. But anyway, he was an Easterby guy, and when Easterby was gone, he wanted out. And so goodbye. I mean, if your existence at the Houston Texans depends on Jack Easterby, then we don't, you know what, don't need you here. Don't. And if you get a fourth rounder for him, great. Who knows if you can strike on something, you can hit something with that pick. 713-780-3776. So my electric truck has arrived, my Lightning F-150. What? Yeah, that's right. I'm not going to start hugging trees. Here's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start driving around in a beautiful, beautiful truck. I've got the new color blue that is unbelievable. I've got one of the only ones in this city. I'm telling you, this cannot be any better. I am loving my life right now because I'm going to go pick up that truck, and it is going to be unbelievable. Listen. At Chastang Ford, you can create the perfect Ford for your needs without any hidden dealer add-ons. When you use their build and price tool at ChastangFord.com, you'll know exactly what you're getting. You won't be surprised by hidden fees. Chastang Ford offers excellent customer service. They're just the best. A knowledgeable staff. Justin helped me out in every step of the way, and it was just fabulous. The whole process is wonderful. You can even do it online. There's somebody, as soon as you get online, that will pop up and say, how can I help you? And they're right there, and they're going to help you get through every step of the way. I like going into the dealership. It's at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. I like being there. I like looking at the truck on the computer with the guys and with Justin, and we picked out all the features, and couldn't have been better. But my features, what I wanted, and what price I had to have. And that's the way they do it every single time at Chastang Ford. You're looking for the best way to build your own car or truck at Chastang Ford. There's one way to go. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, or you can do it all online at ChastangFord.com. The best way to get your Ford vehicle, Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.